This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
You are still kind of caught up in the fact that the two slowest teams in college basketball are playing Sunday night in the NIT.
Ives with a great stat. That gets me. I love goofy games. That, to me, has got my name written all over it. Mm. First to 40. Let's go. Roll it out there.
Oh. 357 and 358. Slowest teams in college basketball meet. Clash of the Titans. Can they get to 120 points?
That might be like the perfect Sunday night dinner deal, right? After 4 days of just nonstop basketball, men's and women's, we just get Virginia and North Texas at a snail's pace.
You could walk off, leave the game for 7 minutes, come back and go, oh, they've combined for 4 points.
Which TV timeout are we on now? No, I hope Virginia wins. The men have gotten off to a good start now. The ladies got off to a tough start last night. Florida State loses, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the men were 2-0 in the NIT, were 2-0 in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, no question.
Good start.
And games today, of course, featuring Duke, Miami, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame. So, looking at Carolina, the big winner over Marquette in a day that, quite frankly, there were some upsets. I mean, you know, the cataclysmic upsets of you get Richmond beating Iowa. You got Creighton in a 9-8 game against San Diego State. Michigan, 11. You were right about the 11s, by the way.
So far.
11s were hot.
And 11 when the 12s are even hotter.
Yeah.
A pair of 12s won last night.
Well, you know the 12 is going to happen, right?
The 12-5 has become kind of the traditional thing.
Right.
But I did like the 11s going into the tournament. We'll see what happens today. We've got a pair of ACC teams on the 11 line with Virginia Tech and Notre Dame. And again, two terrific games.
Yeah. So, Jay Billis joining us. Not yet. We will effort. We're still efforting Mr. Billis, the Holly Farms player of the game. Carolina announced their presence with authority yesterday in Fort Worth, did they not?
I thought Carolina was terrific. After everybody kind of got the rust knocked off there for a little bit, guess what? Man, North Carolina went off.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought Caleb Love was the guy yesterday, and sure enough, make six threes in the first half. The rest is history. They were great.
You know, the appreciation thread for Brady Manick is probably not long enough on this.
I agree with you. And, you know, Hubert Davis kind of said that even at the tail end of the season. Remember, he said, you know what, I really have – it's been an honor to coach this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when North Carolina's guards can penetrate, man, and Davis was outstanding yesterday, right? Not necessarily shooting the basketball, but the assist-to-turnover ratio is exactly what you'd sign up for every day of the week. But when they make penetration and get it to the wings, and Brady Manick nails it. But when Caleb loves making shots, watch out for Carolina. That's why I thought he was the key of the game yesterday. And man, he had 21 in the first half. He was terrific.
Yeah. Caleb Love hit a long three. And then last night I saw somebody from Baylor stand in the middle of in the March Madness logo. Not Baylor, USF. The guard from USF knocked down a three from Round Rock. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It was a great game for folks that stayed up. And in fact, it's good practice. Let me just say one thing. It's really good practice for everybody here watching us on ACC Network. When you're watching the NCAA tournament games nonstop, watch them all the way to the end because it'll get you ready for tomorrow's 12:30 a.m. broadcast here on ACC Network.
That's it. Good call. Nice.
It'll keep you awake.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're wound up, hey, we still have live programming on this network. Does CBS have that? No.
No. No, we got live programming.
Does any other network on the planet Earth have live programming at 12:30? No. We do. We do.
This next segment of the show brought to you by the Laurel Market here in Charlotte.
Jay likes the Laurel Market.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jay Billis to the Packer and Durham program. Good morning, Mr. Billis. How are we?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? And I've already been to Laurel Market. It was magnificent.
By the way, Jay, you don't know this, but today marks your 23rd appearance on Packer and Durham.
Is that a mug?
No mugs.
No mugs for Jay? Okay. So
yeah, I had been notching that in my belt, so I knew that. I'm very proud.
You know, if you get 25 appearances, they give you a free creamer for your coffee at Laurel Market.
Can I ask you about something you put on social media last night? And look, the discussion point is there to be had. But if I heard this right, you think St. Peter's win over Kentucky is bigger than UMBC over Virginia in NCAA history?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I did say it was. I thought it was top 10.
Okay.
I'd put it over some of the other, like, you know, you go back to Villanova beating Georgetown. I mean, that was more monumental because of the circumstance. And I don't know how many people thought before the game that NC State was going to beat Houston in 83.
Right.
I was trying to be, you know, a little bit conservative with that. But if you go by how many people thought, like, I think in brackets, if you go by brackets, the only people that picked St. Peter's went to St. Peter's or had their dog make the selection for them. There's no way any rational basketball person would have picked that because Kentucky is so much better. I mean, I watched St. Peter's play a number of times this year, and I did it because I was watching the other team. I was scouting the other team. Mm-hmm. And they've got good players. Like, Banks is a good player. I think Kentucky's got to be sideways that they let Doug Eddard get 20 points. I mean, he's had that like four times in his four-year career. But, you know, if you look at St. Peter's numbers, which I've done a lot of in preparing for the tournament, you know, they're 317th in the country in two-point field goal percentage. And they're outside the top 100 in adjusted offensive efficiency. They're a good defensive team. But the idea that they would beat Kentucky, there's no way that happens unless Kentucky is an active participant in the loss. Hmm. And so you have one team playing really well, which St. Peter's did, and then you've got the big shot who doesn't show, and Kentucky didn't show. The only guy that really did was Oscar Tshiebwe. And everybody – and if you notice at the end of the game, he was the only one crying.
Yeah.
Because he put so much into it. There were too many no-shows. And for those who say and have said that, hey, experience matters, well, this is the most experienced team Kentucky's ever had. And they never lost with their one-and-done guys like this. They lost because they didn't show. And it's one thing to have a close game and to get pushed a little bit. Gonzaga got pushed for a while, but then they had a 20-0 run or something and put them away in their game against Georgia State. And teams can have a close game for a while or whatever, or do what UCLA did against Akron. But when the game was on the line, they performed, and Kentucky didn't. And so the real test, as you guys know, is so that's the 10th time. Like going into this tournament, two seeds were 9-135 since 1985, and you know that's not a good record. And it doesn't indicate that, hey, these guys are going to lose. But only I believe this is right. And if it's not, it's only off by one team. But I believe only one team, one 15 seed, has ever won another game. And so what Kentucky's loss did was open up the bracket for Baylor and UCLA and Purdue. Mm-hmm. But think about this. Like, how happy do you think Murray State is right now?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. No question, because they were going to have to slay Goliath for the lifetime edge, right?
You're right. I mean, I'm sure they would have loved that opportunity because there's no downside to playing Kentucky. If you lose, everybody expects you to lose. But they're going, hey, man, we got a free trip to the Sweet 16 if we play. Mm-hmm. And they're significantly better. It doesn't mean they're going to win, but they're significantly better than St. Peter's.
Jay, last year we saw 9 double-digit seeds win in the first round. Yesterday we saw 4. Today, the ACC has 3 in action. 10 seed Miami's got SC, 11 seed Notre Dame's got Alabama, 11 seed Virginia Tech has Texas. Of the 3 double-digit ACC seeded teams, your gut reaction, how many find a way to get a win today?
Miami and Virginia Tech, I believe, are the better teams than the teams they're playing. And that's kind of the thing about that pack is when you think about So when you think about double-digit seeds, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? It's a mid-major.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at least half of the double-digit seeds that win these days are major conference teams that had, you know, middling conference records, but they're good. And so, you know, when you're Colorado State and you're a 6 seed, and I don't think they were good enough to be a 6 seed, but when you're a 6 seed and you're staring down the barrel of Michigan – you know, wouldn't you rather play a mid-major? I mean, the answer is yes. You would rather play the traditional 11 seed instead of playing Michigan that has a 7-footer that can be dominant and all that stuff. And remember this, Michigan won without their point guard. Devontae Jones is in concussion protocol. He didn't even play.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these double-digit seeds, I mean, it's hard. Like, last year, UCLA was maybe, what were they, 11 or 12? They're probably a 12 seed because they played in the play-in game. So they beat Michigan State. So you got two 12 seeds playing, and it's Michigan State and UCLA. Like, come on, man. Those are not Cinderella teams. That's not Cinderella. St. Peter's is Cinderella. And there's a Cinderella aspect to New Mexico State. Mm-hmm. But New Mexico State's got Teddy Allen, who played, you guys remember, he started at West Virginia, and then he had a whole bunch of stops after that because of his off-court stuff.
Right.
And I think you could even tell in that game, like, he's a hell of a player, but he's got some issues. I mean, the referees a couple times had to tell him, hey, man, we're about to call a technical on you. Like, chill out.
Yeah.
But you got a guy that can go get you 37 because he's legit, and that's not the usual thing you see from New Mexico State is having a guy like that.
Jay, how much today does last week help Virginia Tech? I mean, Mike Young's such a good coach. I mean, you sat there and watched this kind of run they had last week in Brooklyn, and it's a great moment for that program, as we've all stated. But now all of a sudden, here they are as the ACC champion playing a Texas team with Chris Beard, and it's a pick'em game in 11-6, and it should be with these two. But I'm curious about just how much energy you think they have right now as a team before they ever put the ball in the air today?
That's a great question, Wes, and I don't know the answer to that because there are a couple things that I've never been able to figure out, and I don't think I'm alone here. One is what starts – when do slumps start and how? Mm-hmm. And when do slumps end and how? And when does momentum start and how? You know, that kind of thing. So Virginia Tech's playing great. They won the ACC tournament championship, and they look like they can beat anybody, and I think they can beat almost – not anybody, but almost anybody. But look at Iowa. I mean, Iowa played their best basketball at the end of the year. They ripped through the Big Ten tournament, and they looked comatose in their game.
Yeah.
Like they looked like they had been sedated. And I, you know, like, you give Richmond all the credit for that. But come on, like, that wasn't the Iowa team that played in the Big Ten tournament. And, you know, so I don't know how that works, whether it takes something out of you or whatever excuse or rationalization you want. But, you know, Richmond played very well, but Iowa was awful. I mean, they were awful.
Yep.
And you just don't have results like that without that combination. You have to have both those things. And so I think Virginia Tech's going to play really well because they're – an older group that kind of gets it, and maybe seeing today, yesterday will help them, you know, say, hey, man, we better roll in this thing. But I wish I knew the answer to that. I just don't.
Jay, can Duke find their defensive mojo, the same group that we watched beat Gonzaga and beat Kentucky early? Because let's be honest, defensively, they've just not been the same team down the stretch.
Yeah, Pack, and not a lot of people were talking about that, you know, maybe 2 weeks ago. You heard a lot of people saying, oh, this is an old-school Duke defensive team, and every time I would hear that, I would go, no, they're not. They don't force turnovers anymore. And if you look at their numbers in ACC play, they were underwater in turnover margin. They don't force more turnovers than they produce themselves. And that's unusual for a Duke team, and especially one that we're saying, hey, man, this is old school, getting out in passing lanes and forcing turnovers. They're not forcing turnovers, and their ball screen defense is very average at best. So if they find it, they've been looking for a while. It's not like they haven't been looking. But I think they're significantly better than Cal State Fullerton. They do have a tough draw. Like, if they play Michigan State, which, you know, my sense is they will, although Davidson's very good. But Davidson's not great defensively, and they're not great on the glass. They're good, but they're really good offensively. Michigan State, it can give them a really hard time. Like, they're better than Michigan State, but playing a team like that, if Tyson Walker's healthy, he's got an ankle issue, you know, I would expect that to be a real fistfight.
You know, it makes sense, though. Who says CBS doesn't look for storylines to have a second-round game between Mike Krzyzewski and Tom Izzo, right, Jay? I mean, remember, they tried to get Dean Smith and Bob Knight squared up in 97 in Winston-Salem, and Colorado stepped in. I mean, we'll see if Bob McKillop can spoil it today, but that one kind of seems earmarked in the television room at times, doesn't it?
It does, and I'm cool with that. I mean, this is a TV event, and it's a show. You know, when they say we never consider those kind of – there are things that are going to happen that are just, frankly, coincidence. But, you know, when you've got Davidson playing Michigan State and then Foster Lawyer played at Michigan State, you know, you start asking those questions. But there are so many guys all over the place now and so many connections in basketball. You're going to have those things happen naturally. But the guy that would agree with us would be Bob Huggins, that when he was at Cincinnati, he was always in Kentucky's bracket every time. And he said so. He goes, come on, man. We know what's going on here. And he's probably right.
Before we let you go, your thoughts about Kenny Payne being announced today as the new head basketball coach at Louisville?
Makes sense. You know, Kenny is a great recruiter, and he played at Louisville. I actually played against him back in the day. That's how old he is. But it was something that Louisville fans wanted. It frankly is a job that was a little more difficult to fill than people think because of what they're staring at. And they may be staring at significant NCAA penalties. I don't know what's going to happen, but the NCAA has been bleeding them to death. Like, Chris Mack had very little chance there because you can't recruit. And with that hanging over your head. But Kenny's great, and he's not been a head coach before, but he's been around it, and he's been with Calipari for a long time. So I don't doubt he'll get players and do well. I think he's a great guy, and I think he'll do really well. But that was not an easy job for them to fill. The choices were not what they would normally have.
All right. Thank you for your time, as always. We wish no three putts for you, sir.
No, I wish no three putts for me too, but I'll have plenty, I promise.
Hey, but the good news is you're two more appearances away from free cream over there at the Laurel Market, so you got that going for you, which is kind of nice.
You know, if I'm lucky, I'll get it before the end of the NCAA tournament. I want to have a summer full of creamer.
That's it. You're all over.
Thanks, Jay. Take care.
Thank you, guys.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, we appreciate Jay Billis in his 23rd appearance, but we're not done.
Have you chronicled, by the way, everybody?
Every guest, I have the exact number of times they've been on as a guest, not a co-host. That's what I've been doing that for about the last 2 weeks, going through every show note.
Is that right? As we work our way to 600.
That's called Get a Life, Mark Packer.
600 coming up. Is it 2 weeks from Tuesday? I think that's right.
Yeah. Today's 588.
How about that? Okay.
You want a detail of the guest? I'll give you a detail.
Dana Boyle joining us, by the way.
Fifth coming appearance.
Up, okay. There you go. Coming up in about...
Kelly Gramlich, it was her 18th appearance.
Coming up in about 8 minutes. Dana Boyle, 7 minutes. 8:30, bottom of the hour. Talking
you want
about
numbers? We got you numbers.
All right. We'll do
Speaking
that.
Speaking of numbers, today's a big number.
42nd anniversary of Tom Butters introducing Mike Krzyzewski as the head basketball coach at Duke.
Yep. Remember it well.
Look at Butters. Is that corduroy coat? Maybe velour.
Could you spell that, please?
Yeah. And I got to tell you now, this one did not move the needle.
No, it didn't.
It just didn't.
Created jokes is what it did.
Yeah, I mean... I thought Luke Dukak a couple weeks ago did a great job of writing this story about Paul Webb, who was the coach at Old Dominion. And Old Dominion had been like this D2 team that had had incredible success. They'd won some national championships, by the way. And they were pivoting toward D1. Remember their women's team with Ann Donovan at 6'10", AIAW national championship. So Paul Webb was the guy that Tom Butters maybe used as a smokescreen to hire Mike Krzyzewski. Who told Tom Butters about Mike Krzyzewski? Bob Knight. Bob Knight and that legacy, that drove Butters to sit and talk with Mike Krzyzewski. Now think about this. This is the part that I think today's folks who see this coach that's won 5 national titles and coached 42 years and had all this incredible success. He got the Duke job with a losing record the year before.
Like I said, when I remember when he was hired, because at the time Dean was the standard,
right?
You had this transition, kind of what we're going through right now in ACC men's basketball.
Yep.
You got this guy Valvano rolling into town, and Kremen's down there at Georgia Tech, yep. And Lefty was a standard at Maryland, and Holland was up there at UVA. But when Duke made their announcement, I mean, I still remember, I think it was in high school, and people were like, is Duke just signed up to lose for the rest of their lives? Yeah. I mean, seriously, that's what people were talking about. What is Duke doing?
Yeah.
They've lost their minds with this guy? Hmm. No way this guy is going to win.
Here's the excerpt from the tournament.
From 1978 to 80, the Duke Blue Devils had gone to the NCAA final, been ranked number one in the nation, and had won two ACC tournaments. Then in March of 1980, their head coach Bill Foster left. Duke athletic director Tom Butters chose to replace Foster with Mike Krzyzewski, an unheralded coach whose Army team had just finished a season with 9 wins and 17 losses, to the surprise of most.
For the sake of accuracy, if indeed accuracy means anything, the job was not offered to anyone else. He is my first choice, and he will remain my first choice. Coach Mike Krzyzewski.
Thanks a lot for all the support.
I'm looking at the news on TV, and it's going, Duke has a new coach in their program. And I was like, really? Mike? The guy couldn't pronounce his name.
It's Krzyzewski. And if you think that's bad, it was a lot worse before I changed it.
The response to Krzyzewski's hiring was, who in the hell is this?
In Krzyzewski's first season, Duke went from being one of the nation's top teams to a mediocre one. And in his second, they were bad, finishing with a record of 10-17, their worst in 55 years.
I had no idea what the ACC was actually about. I mean, from a distance, you respected it, you knew it was the best conference, but from coaching at Army, it was at a whole different level. It wasn't a game, it was a religion.
You saw that note, the tournament is now available on demand at ACC, NX, and through the ESPN app. You can see, go back and watch all the episodes if you choose, and of course they're being replayed, along the way as well on ACC Network.
Turned out to be one of the great hires in the history of not only the ACC, but in college sports.
Yeah, we talked about it the night of the last home game at Cameron, 38-47 in 3 years. Vote of comment. I love when Kay talks about the concerned Iron Dukes. Yeah, the group of people had come together, the concerned Iron Dukes, and I was the one they were concerned about.
Well, if this guy, Krzyzewski, an unknown, was hired at Duke or anywhere else today and had exactly the same amount of success after 3 years, there'd he'd be
no
fired.
Chance. Yeah.
I mean, that would be the end of that career. That's what that would be. And this league has produced, and I've said this many times before, this league has produced some of the most incredible coaches who got off to lousy starts. Dean Smith at North Carolina,
yep.
Frank Beamer at Virginia Tech, Dabo Sweeney at Clemson, Mike Krzyzewski. The list goes on and on. That if they were hired today to turn something around and had the same amount of success the first couple of years, it'd be over.
Mm-hmm.
You'd see a change. And, yep. It says something about being patient and having trust in the people that make good decisions.
I agree with you. And I think, again, I say this because they had to be invested by somebody. Frank Beamer was Dave Brain. Mike Krzyzewski was Tom Butters. Dabo Sweeney was Terry Don Phillips.
No doubt.
Right? Dean Smith was Chuck Erickson.
Yep.
The athletics director at Carolina at the time. And you see it a little bit today, but not like that. On the other side, Dana Boyle joins us.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham. It is a Friday, March 18th, show 588. Loaded with guests. I know we got basketball going nuts, right?
Yeah, we do.
The madness is upon us.
That's it.
But it's also crazy in lacrosse because you have a pair of one versus two on the men's side and the women's side this weekend, and that ties into the ACC.
It does. Sunday afternoon, 2:00 on ESPNU, It's number 2 Carolina, number 1 Boston College, and please welcome part of the announced team for said game. There's great Dana Boyle joining Packer and Durham. Now, how many appearances is this?
This is number 5 for Miss Dana.
5?
Mm-hmm. So she's fresh off a primetime appearance last night doing games.
Yeah, hey, that was late last night. What's the story on the 8 o'clock starts, huh?
I had to have a nap and also a coffee at 3 o'clock, which that's not usually how I roll. No coffee after 11 a.m., but 8 p.m. start is new for women's lacrosse, but I'm excited. So it was on TV. It was a great game. Duke capped Louisville. Good Thursday night matchup. Drew Carter and I crushed the call, and we stayed up a little too late.
There you go.
You know, you keep this up. You know, we're going to start premiering a new 12:30 a.m. show tomorrow. You may be, like, next in line for that 12:30 a.m. slot.
How about that?
I don't know about that. If it was with you guys, I think I would say yes. Yeah. But I usually go to bed around 8:39, so that would be pushing the bedtime.
All right.
Everybody has their price, Dana. Everybody's got a number.
Ah, there you go.
True.
All right, let's jump to this thing Sunday, because we had Acacia Walker-Weinstein on yesterday. She was terrific, as always. But, man, this feels big now Sunday. I mean, Carolina, BC, Dana, I mean – how many times could we see this before the year's over? And fortunately, we get it Sunday at 2 o'clock.
I think with the ACC, you're going to meet in the regular season, and then you're most likely going to meet in the ACC tournament. And these two teams especially, I mean, this is a rematch of the semifinal where UNC did not come out on top. So this is a highly anticipated matchup. I'm excited. Both teams look good on paper, and I think whoever can control the pace and the tempo of the game is going to come out on top.
Dana, let's talk about Charlotte North. What we know, I'm telling you, I keep saying she's a superstar in the league. Forget about the sport, in the league. Pick a sport and say, hey, who's the biggest star in your respective sport? Let's put them over here. Charlotte North is ridiculous. I mean, not only was she great last year, but she looks like she's taken it even to another level. Scored 7 goals the other day. I know she struggled against North Carolina in the past, but, man, what can you say about what Charlotte North is doing right now?
She's a human highlight reel, and you're absolutely right. She's just building on top of an already successful 2021 season. She has 307 goals. That's the second most in Division I history. She most likely is going to beat that her own record and come out on top. Sam Apuzzo, who's the assistant coach at Boston College, holds the number 1 spot, so it'll be interesting to watch the two Boston College alums go against each other. But I'm excited. She is incredible for the growth of the sport. If you paid attention to Twitter in the fall, there were little girls dressing up as her as Halloween. And I think that speaks to not just what Charlotte's been able to do for the women's game, but the growth. And people are paying attention. And, you know, she gets eyes to come and watch on TV. And I think that's a positive, and that's a win for everybody in the sport.
Dana, the other part about this is, and look, I think Charlotte North gets the flowers, okay? There's no question about her brilliance as a player. But Jamie Ortega lines up for Carolina and Jenny Levy on Sunday. I mean, Jamie Ortega at the same time is kind of in that neighborhood of where Charlotte North is. But because Carolina, you know, 43-2 in their last 45 or whatever, the Carolina program kind of has that built-in system. And do players like Jamie get lost in that sometimes and their greatness?
I don't think so. I mean, Jamie Ortega is 4th. In Division I history for goals. So she's knocking on the doorstep of Charlotte North. When I look at North Carolina and really Boston College, they had to reload this year. They didn't have to rebuild. So when you look at North Carolina offensively, they are hot. They've got a lot of different goal scorers that they can go to, which I think gives them just the slightest bit of edge in this matchup. The only two losses that they had came to Boston College in 2019 and 2021 in the national semifinals. So this is a very highly anticipated matchup. And I know that North Carolina remembers the pain from last year, and they're ready to make a stamp in this game on Sunday.
So for folks that may sample this for the very first time, and it's one of those kind of sports I think it's easy to fall in love with because it is so offensive. With stars all over the place, do you anticipate a high-scoring game? Or sometimes is that kind of – it's a filling-out process because everybody knows that at any point in time the other guy can explode. You tell me.
I think you're right. I think it will be highly offensive. With the shot clock, it's a new rule in women's lacrosse. It does make for a lot of goals being scored. When I played, there was no shot clock, so teams would hold. So you'd see a little bit of a low scoring game, but you're seeing Boston College and North Carolina put up 20 points against opponents. That is insane. I think it'll be very offensively heavy, but defensively for both of these teams, they got good goalkeepers, they got good veterans on defense. So it's going to be a complete game, and whoever can have the least amount of turnovers and control the pace, I think is going to come out on top and win.
All right. This is not the only one versus two this weekend. There's another one on the men's side. The old alma mater, ye old Wahoos, play Maryland. this has got a little spice to it now. I mean, I know when you played, Maryland was still kind of hanging around the league a little bit, I think, right? So, you know, Virginia, Maryland can be just about anything, and somebody's going to have their fur ruffled up about this. What do you think happens on the men's side with these two?
I'm not just saying this because I am a former alum, but I do think that Virginia will come out on top. I think they got to also have a chance to three-peat. They got a lot of returners in Colin Schellenberger. They've got Petey LaSalle, who's the best face-off specialist in the country, arguably. They've got a strong defense, and I do think that they will cap Maryland. Do I think it'll be a close game? Yes, I do. I know Lars Tiffany is looking forward to the challenge, and anytime you play Maryland, Big Ten, ACC, old ACC rival, you know, their stakes are really high, and it's a big competitive game, and there's a chance that they'll meet again.
Dana, more goals scored in the women's 1-2 or the men's 1-2?
Ooh.
You know I'm going to pick the women's game. Come on. I do believe it, though. I do believe it.
Okay. So you like the Virginia men, and you think North Carolina women have a slight, slight edge against BC. That's the read here.
I do, and I really hope that Coach Acacia Walker-Weinstein isn't watching, because I do have a coach's call with her later this afternoon. But I do think UNC has the slight edge.
All right. By the way, I know that your dog's sitting, so how's that going?
It's going okay. I had to throw the dog outside. He was having a little bit of FOMO when I was in the office with the door shut. He's a COVID dog, so... he doesn't like being left alone and being left out. So I didn't want him to make his first appearance on the show just yet.
Come on.
Come on. I mean,
come on.
We,
what
we're
are you
surrounded
doing?
By hounds.
Are you serious? I come over here every morning, walk in this basement, and I'm greeted by these two dogs. Now, Fuller's on
Fuller's upstairs.
Probation right now, yeah. But Chester's in here hanging out. So why in the world wouldn't you bring your dog on this show? Come on. What's the deal?
He's a bulldog, and he is a little bit of a hot mess sometimes. So I think he might...
Hot mess. What do you think this show is?
Not the computer. he's a good dog. He just isn't very well trained.
What's the dog's name?
Wilbur.
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 I mean,
I gotta tell you, Dana.
Wilbur, hang out down here. I tell you what, if you road trip through Charlotte, bring Wilbur with you. Just drop him off at the house.
Okay.
You know, three's a crowd in here. We need one more puppy in here.
Dana, here's the bottom line. Packer's daughter brings Piper Girl, 88-pound golden in here to join these two.
She just turned two.
Canines in here already. So Wilbur's not going to move the needle very much in here. I mean, and you say hot mess. What do you think this show is Monday through Friday from 7 to 10?
Wilbur's 70 pounds, and he'll turn 3 in the spring. So he's a chunk. He's a spotted bulldog. He kind of looks like a pig if you look at him quickly.
I love bulldogs, too.
All right, look here. Next time, all I'm telling you is it's great to have you on the show. We love having you on. But next time, Wilbur makes an appearance.
Man, we got to get Wilbur
come on
some
now.
FaceTime.
I mean, Wilbur needs to get.
I understand.
Yeah. I mean, you can send us some video or something like that of Wilbur, and we'll showcase him properly. You don't have to hold him up. I mean, good heavens. I mean, like crane in a backhoe to hold him up in front of the camera. But, you know, come on. Right,
I love, you know, snorting, slobbering all over the place.
Oh, that's what you want.
What kind of dog?
There you go. Yeah, I bet it is. Dana, thank you.
There was one instance.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
There was one instance where I picked Wilbur up when I was dog sitting before, and I threw my back out. So I'll just send pictures next time to the show.
You know, here's what I suggest. You know, you got your favorite place to go get. Was it bagels in Charlottesville?
Bodo's. She's Bodo. You're Bodo's with, right? You're like me. Bodo's.
Don't act like you forget about Bodo's.
No, so here's
what
I do.
I love Bodo's.
Here's what I do. I go to Charlottesville. They're your favorite spot there.
Bodo's.
Grab you a couple and one extra for Wilbur. He'll follow you around all day. Amazing how big you can get.
Jeez. Unbelievable.
True.
All right. Dana, have a great time on the call Sunday. That'll be a great game. Looking forward to it.
Thanks, y'all. Have a good weekend.
You bet. Dana
Boyle. Get some rest.
Yep. Sunday afternoon.
Wilbur. How did we miss out on Wilbur?
I have no idea.
Another, I do love Bulldogs.
Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, ESPNU, number one BC, number two Carolina from Chestnut Hill.
That's pretty cool, though. A pair of one versus twos
right
in lacrosse this weekend. Yep. It'll be big time. I'm telling you, this time of the year is the best. We've got baseball series are great this weekend.
Yep.
Wrestling championships are going on. Swimming and diving championships are going on.
Both the men's and women's tournaments.
Right. You got obviously March Madness, and I've said spring football. Georgia Tech went last night.
Yeah.
That's around the corner, too. Yeah. You got to love this time of the year.
There's some real activity last night on the field in Atlanta now involving football and non-football.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are having a good time down there in that south end zone.
Why wouldn't they be? Yeah. You got 20 yards of beverages.
That's it.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, don't forget ACC softball. This is a good one, too. Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock on ACC Network. John Rittman and 15th-ranked Clemson off to Durham to see number 8 Duke. Marissa Young's team is playing awfully well. Coverage right here on ACCN and streaming live on the ESPN app.
Part of what I'm talking about, an incredible time of the year. ACC with 4 teams ranked in the top 15 in softball.
That's it. Earlier this week, we had a chance to talk to Wes Moore, the coach at NC State, and always enjoy our visits. And we caught him day or so after the brackets came out. And like everybody else, we started the interview with the elephant in the room. And again, we know it's 3 games away, but everybody nationally, just beyond the ACC footprint, is talking about the fact that NC State's a top seed, but they're in the Bridgeport Regional, which also features second seed UConn.
Did they make us a 1 seed? I wasn't sure. You know, I told our players, you know, we don't really need to talk about it because we've got to go out and win games, or it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. But I don't get it. You know, I guess we should have lost more games. You know, I don't know. To me, why wasn't UConn a number 1 seed? I mean, they're Nets number 4 in the country. They've played all year long. They say they take injuries into consideration. They played all year long without the reigning National Player of the Year, Paige Beckers, and now they got her back. So I don't get it. Why didn't you make them a number 1 and let them play at home up there and us play on a neutral side or whatever? But, again, it's kind of a shame. To me, at some point, if you have a committee, they ought to use common sense and they ought to do the right thing. And otherwise, let's just use a computer, save a lot of money. You know, again, we got to go out and win ball games. That's a bottom line.
You know, it's crazy. We got 2 number 1 seeds in our league, right? You guys are terrific. Louisville's a 1 seed. But on the surface, I'm sitting on the couch with dogs. I would much rather be in Louisville's position today than what you've got to go through. And yet you won the regular season, you beat Louisville, and you won the ACC tournament. That part to me, as somebody that doesn't have any skin in the game here, doesn't seem like common sense to me.
Right.
To me.
It's not common sense, and it's not the right thing. And our kids – we had 3 kids come back. They graduated. They came back for this, you know, and they went out and did about everything you could do. Number 2 net in the country. We played an unbelievable non-conference schedule. And then we went out and won the regular season, won the tournament, went 20-1 against great ACC teams. So we did everything we could do. So don't tell me about the net and strength of schedule. At the end of the day, you know, they're going to do what they want to do.
All right, Wes, there is this piece of this, and we've kind of been, all right, here's Bridgeport and here's UConn as a 2. There's got to be some financial part of this in the room, right, when the decision's made. So at some point, it's about generating dollars as opposed to fairness in the grid. That's the problem I have. It's much like the same issue I have with the 5 seeds that the ACC got, when you and I know, and you know more than I do, that some of those teams are deserving of four seeds in hosting. I think what Kenny Brooks is having to go through is ridiculous. I think they ought to be a four seed. I feel similar to that with Courtney and with Neil too. I think it's a bad look by the committee. So where does women's basketball, where does that get corrected as long as we're going to keep these campus sites, in addition to the straight dollars that are being shown here in the move with you and UConn and Bridgeport?
Yeah, but like I said, you could have the best of both worlds. Make UConn the fourth number one seed. I mean, it was easy, and you could argue for it. I mean, they're the number four net team in the country. And like I said, they played all year long without the Paige Beckers, I mean, the reigning national player of the year, and now they got her back. So it was easy, okay? Like I said, common sense, do the right thing. I'd like to hear their reason for not doing that. But anyway, you know, it is what it is. I hate it for our kids. Again, you know, hey, we got to go get it done. They've answered every call all year long for the last 2 years. They've been great on the road, and so we got to go get it done. But you didn't do the right thing and give them the best path for sure.
Coach, I know this, though. You have built a great, not good, great program. That involves having great players, staff, the whole deal. And I've always found when you start talking about the great teams, they love it. They love it. Mm-hmm. When all of a sudden there's a cast of doubt. Oh, man, that's a tough break. You got to do this. I think in your locker room, and again, you're going to paint the picture that you want, but I think in that locker room that your girls can't wait for the opportunity. If it turns out that you're good enough and UConn's good enough, that we'll go play you on your home soil for the ability to go to a Final Four. To me, the great teams absolutely cherish a moment like that.
Yeah, like I said, though, we're trying to focus on this weekend. You know, we've got, hopefully we got two games at home, hopefully. You know, and these teams are all good. I mean, they've won their conference tournaments or they've had great regular seasons and we lost two games at home this year, which hadn't happened very often, but that's what's happened this year. We've actually probably played better on the road. So we're going to have to go out and protect our home court first. And then even at that point, if you're fortunate enough to advance, you got to go win a game in Bridgeport against another really good team. So before you even worry about that potential matchup with UConn. So we got a lot of work ahead of us. We got to make sure we don't look ahead. That's why I'm saying I really didn't even want to talk about this. But since you brought it up, you know, felt like I had to at least, express my feelings. But you're right. Hopefully, we're a little ticked off about it and we go out and, talk to them about we got to have the toughness and the urgency to make it happen.
Luganville. Oh, there we go. Westmore.
Game on. But, you know, we can talk about UConn all you want. That really doesn't matter. None of that matters if you don't take care of your business today.
It's three games away, and we've already seen on the men's side, quite frankly.
Ask Kentucky.
How volatile this deal can get.
Right.
And how quickly it can get volatile.
Ask Iowa. Yeah, we won the Big Ten Championship. People got us penciled in for a Final Four. We're on fire. Great. You better go win today.
So NC State gets St. Mary's. That's our Mount St. Mary's. That's tomorrow. And then Kelly gave us a great update on Washington State and Kansas State, who the winner of that one would see the Wolfpack. So all that being said, you got a great cut of teams here. Florida State eliminated last night in an 11-11 play-in game by Missouri State. So we will start today. You'll get to see, in the bracket today, Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Louisville. All play today, as does Miami. So we'll get a look at those squads. Then tomorrow, the rest of the field will get in play. And then hopefully Monday, we got everybody left.
And all this, no respect. I mean, the league did get eight teams in the dance, right? And
right.
BC could have made nine.
I just think the five thing's an issue.
Yeah, but you know what? None of that matters, Wes. At the end of the day, like I keep saying, you get like a 24-hour period after brackets to complain and gripe and whine about this, what it could have, should have, and all that stuff.
Right.
Hey, you got to roll the ball out and play and win. Survive and advance. That old term is so true. You saw it yesterday with the men. You'll see it today with the men and the women.
Yeah.
But, you know, who cares what you're seated? You got to go play and get the job done.
Yeah. So we'll see how it plays for the women. And don't forget, the men are in full force today. Miami, Southern California, Virginia Tech, Texas, Duke meets Cal State Fullerton, and, of course, Notre Dame and Alabama. Sounds like a Sugar Bowl game, doesn't it? From back in the 70s?
Well, it was a national championship game about a decade ago.
For about six minutes. Yeah, you're selling it by saying
six. It was a college football playoff game a couple years ago about 6 minutes.
All right, sit
tight. The basketball game is a little more competitive.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.